Blog Talk Radio.
Some days it seems like it's so hard to get out of bed. So many issues facing me is coming to a head. I stand in needing your anointing, Lord, cover me, renew in me the right spirit, please. Till that secret, sacred place in you, make an atmosphere to hear from you. Restore me so I'll be renewed. You kept me here and you see me through.
Oh. God can and God will see us through, so have no fear. Oh, God can and God will, no matter the trial, He's God with Him. We win.
We win.
Mama, pray for me. Late nights coming in, I find her asleep on her knees. All grown up now, I understand why she prays so much. Incline your ear, I need your touch.
I die a little every day, so I keep pressing down as I answer your call. Give me more of you.
Good morning. This is Blog Talk Radio, February the 7th, 2021. This is Amazing Grace Ministries, and we are destroying the yokes of bondage. Again, I want to say welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Maria Carey. I am the president and the CEO of Amazing Grace Ministries. We have a spirit-filled lesson for you today. I want to give a shout-out to my co-host, who also hosts this show, Evangelist Terry Rogers. God bless her. And to each and every one of you that are listening on this morning, certainly I want to give you a shout out for taking the time out of your schedule to listen on today. You know, we are in a new month. Praise the Lord. This is February, a new day that we've never seen before. And certainly God has blessed us and shined His grace upon us to allow us to see another day. And certainly it may be cold outside, but the sun is still shining. Hallelujah. Bless Him. You know, it's my custom to give announcements before we get into the lesson. Our School of Ministry, Amazing Grace Ministries, our school, Amazing Grace School of Ministry, classes are coming. My tongue seemed to be tongue-tied this morning, but Satan loose here. So they're coming next week. We should have registration open and ready for you. Praise God. I encourage you to take advantage of the classes on this year. Certainly, we're going to bring you relevant issues and relevant topics. I want to thank each and every one of you. And if you need more information on the school, my phone number is 309-750-7584. And again, if you enjoy listening to this broadcast, this talk show, I want you to send me a text or send me an email and let me know. If there are any topics that you want to see going forth, then let me know. Praise the Lord. Certainly, I want to give a shout out to those of you that are blessing us and this ministry. Certainly, to bring this show to you, there is a cost to operate the School of Ministry. There is a cost, and everything that we are given, certainly we put into the ministry that we may give you the best information possible so that you can be empowered and encouraged to live your life to the full extent that God has called us to live. That is the goal of this ministry. That is the goal. So if you are encouraged on today, give me a text and say, Dr. Carey, I enjoyed you. Give me an email, amazinggraceministries@gmail.com. And that amazing, it's A-M-A-Z-E-N, not I-N-G. It's just a play on the words, and it's just amazing. God's grace is just so amazing. And certainly his grace is amazing to us. So praise God. With that being said, and all donations can be sent to Amazing Grace Ministries, P.O. Box 438-411, Chicago, Illinois, 60643. Praise God. With that being said, God has given us a word that will captivate your mind. It will change your life. It will move you forward in this new year, 2021. God is saying in this new year that new things have sprung up from the desert, and God will restore and deliver his people to a new level in him. So the theme of this month, this is Black History and Love Month, y'all. Valentine's Day is in this month, but this is Black History Month all day, and it's my endeavor to give you just a little bit of history of Black history. Certainly, the theme for this month is a time of rebuilding and reaffirmation of our heritage. A time of rebuilding and a reaffirmation of our heritage. So this Saturday, praise the Lord, the title is Let's Do It Again. Let's Do It Again, rededicated to rebuilding after coronavirus. So with that being said, we are going to be also in the book of Nehemiah. Praise God, I've got two verses for you this morning. The verses are Nehemiah. Both verses are coming from the chapter, the eighth chapter, verse 8, which reads, and this is the authorized King James Version, the AKJV. I use various, those that are new to my show on this morning, I want to give you a shout out. Praise God. I use various versions of the Bible so that we can get an understanding of what God is saying to put it into context to the life that we are living now. So let's read. So they read in the book, in the law of God, distinctly, and gave the sense and the call and called them to understand the word, the reading. I'm going to read that again. So they read in the book, in the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense and called them to understand the reading. Verse 10, then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither shall ye be sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Certainly, that's a whole verse right there. We could stop and we can praise God right there to say the joy of the Lord is our strength. We've dealt with an adversary that certainly has bombarded our communities, has taken toll on the United States of America and the surrounding countries. And now we know that the variants of this coronavirus, and I'm talking about the coronavirus, a president was elected to help to, with the help of the people, to give aid to what's going on. And certainly looking at the statistics that's going on in our nation, in our world right now, we are seeing that things seem to be getting better. The virus, the vaccine is out and people are getting the vaccine, but there's still a trouble with people getting the vaccine. But certainly people are getting those vaccines, and the numbers seem to be going down. But if we look at the reality of what's happened, there have been over 400,000 people that has died because of this coronavirus. We have had to certainly learn and adapt to a new way of functioning, a new way of living. But if we look at the grace of God, if we look at what God has done, if we see, if we understand that we don't walk in fear, hallelujah, because God is yet in control. And we see him moving. We know that he's in control because certainly he has woken us up this morning. And he's given us the activities of our limbs. And the word today is rebuilding. We're going into February, and we know that we live, those of you that are African American, and certainly I'm African American, this blog is listened to all over the world. Certainly, I'm not slighting others of other cultures, but I'm talking to the people of color, the people of color who have endured hardship. You know, when we look at Black history, and I want to give you just a tidbit of the history of this month. So what is Black history, and why do we celebrate it? Well, first of all, we celebrate it because those of us that are African American understand that we celebrate our culture more than just 1 month. We celebrate it 365 days of the year. Praise God. So what does it mean? Now, Carter G. Woodson, and those of you that live in the city of Chicago, we have a library that's on the 95th and Chicago called the Woodson Library. And praise God, it's a historic library. And we are talking about one of the persons that helped to institute Black history. And he is considered the father of Black history. So those of you that are driving, that should drive 95th and Halsted and see that library over to the right if you're going north, and if you're coming south, will be over to the left. You understand that it is named after the person, certainly, that was the father of Black history. So Black history begins in 1915, half of a century after the 13th Amendment. And those of you that don't know what the 13th Amendment is, I want you to really do your history, because the 13th Amendment, I'm going to tell you, is the amendment that abolished slavery in these United States. Now, he was Harvard trained. He was a historian. And I'm talking about Carter G. Woodson, who, and another person, a minister, Jesse Moreland, they founded the Studies of Negro Life and History, which was abbreviated ASNLH, and the organization dedicated to researching and promoting the achievement by Black Americans and other people of African descent. The ASNLH is known today as the Association for the American for African American Life and History, ASALH. This group is sponsored by the National Negro History Week in 1926, choosing the second week in February to coincide with the birthdays of Abraham Lincoln and Frederick Douglass. Hallelujah. So this event inspired schools and communities nationwide to organize local celebrations and establish history clubs to honor and perform lectures to understand our culture, to understand our contributions to history. So in the decades this follows, many mayors of cities across the city began to issue yearly proclamations recognizing the Negro History Week. And by the late 1960s, thanks to the civil rights movement, praise God, we've got to stand up for our rights, and we're still standing up for our rights, a growing awareness of Black identity. The Negro History Week evolved into Black History Month across many college campuses. Now, President Gerald Ford officially recognized Black History Month in 1976. Calling it upon the public to seize this opportunity to honor those contributions that have been made in the Black America and our endeavors throughout the lesson. Praise God. So that incorporates what we are talking about today. That feeds into our lesson because we're talking about let's do it again. Let's do it again. Let's rebuild. Let's go forth and move forth in our history as we are celebrating contributions, as we are lifting up and recovering from this devastated pandemic that has seemed to have crippled and hit our communities hard. But there's one thing about us as a people. We have always had the ability and the blessings of God to bounce back, because there is a resource, there is ability for us to call on the name of the Lord. And when we call on the name of the Lord, he answers. Now, there was a trilogy made in the 70s by two known actors, Sidney Poitier and Bill Cosby. And of course, right now, Bill Cosby certainly there's so much going on with him. But there was movies made, and they were Uptown Saturday Night. They were Let's Do It Again in 1975, and Uptown Saturday Night was done in 1974, and Let's Do It Again in 1975, and A Piece of the Action in 1976. And if you were a young person of myself, those movies, African, especially movies coming from African Americans, were such an inspiration. Certainly, and we know that Sidney Poitier directed all those movies. But there's some deep songs. There's some songs that came out of our culture. And looking at the hub and the music industry that the African Americans have made and contributions to so much that we have had to endure, the fight of our lives and the fight to struggle for equal rights and to fight for equality. We had some songs that came out of that movie, those movies, one of which is Let's Do It Again by the Staple Singers. And then there was one that was done by Mahalia Jackson that Aretha Franklin remade. And that song is How I Got Over. My soul looked back and wondered how I got over. And if we are truthful to ourselves, our souls look back and wonder how I got over. We can say to ourselves, if it had not been for the Lord on our side, where would I be? It was those songs. It was those songs that helped us move forward. When we were down, when we were out, when we didn't feel like we could make it, those songs, How I Made It Over, How I Made It Over, my soul looked back and wondered how I made it over. When we look at it, we can say that God has been right there by our side, that God has been there to take us through the muck and the mire. And one of the verses of this song says, just as soon as I see Jesus, the man who made me free, he was the man that bled and suffered. And of course, there's oh yes, who died for you and me. I want to thank him because he brought me, oh yes. I want to thank him because he taught me, oh yes. I want to thank God because he kept me, oh yes. I'm going to thank him because he never left me, oh yes. And when we look at that, that brings us Nehemiah. Now, some of the words that we need to focus on this morning, we want to thank God for each and every one that's on the line on this morning. Praise God to everyone. Hallelujah. Words to note. When we're talking about re is again, anew, or back, or backwards. So we want to look at anew. You know, we renewing, we rebuilding, And then the prefix is a word that adds at the beginning of a word that changes the meaning of a word. So at one point, they were building, but now we're using re to rebuild because there's something that has occurred that has taken away, but now we're positioning ourselves to arm ourselves accordingly to go after those things that Satan has stole from us. Now, last month, we talked about restoration. So all of these things that we're talking about build on each other because God is sending forth a word. He's sending forth a proclamation to declare that those things that have been taken away, we as a people, a people of God, will be restored. He is building us up. Hallelujah. And he is rededicating us to him. Now, what does dedicate to dedicate mean? So it's to commit to a goal or a way of life, to develop, to devote, to worship of a divine being, and build. I'm just giving you some definition of some words. To form by ordering or uniting materials by a gradual means into a compose or a building or a position. So that's what to build is. So it's forming materials together in a specific means to accomplish or to erect a building, not a building, but a purpose or element or thing. Let's do it. Let's. And I've got a preposition S in there. Let's. Let us do, to bring to pass, to carry out, It's that thing you are to do, that one. And again, another, again means another time or once more. So let's do it again. Let's bring to pass. Let's carry it out. Let's do those things that once was, and let us do it again to rebuild, to reestablish ourselves. And certainly what God is doing in this last and evil time, in this last day, is certainly giving us the opportunity to rise up and to breathe front and center. Hallelujah. He's pulled off some disparities in our communities. And certainly when we look at the news, when we look at the times, and we look at the stats, we know that the Afro-American community and the communities of colors has been disproportionately hit by this pandemic. We have been disproportionately hit by poverty. We have been disproportionately hit by those social economics to keep us bound in poverty. But God is saying that we are rebuilding. God is saying that He's moving us forward. God is saying that I am going to bring you out, because all of you that is on this line tonight, today, this morning, if you have encountered COVID-19, you have yet, you're still here. That's because God has blessed you. If you haven't received or had the pandemic, it's because God has blessed you. If you have received the vaccination, it's because God has blessed you, because God is yet in control, because God is yet doing it for us. He's never failed us. He's never left us. He will not leave us, nor will He forsake us. He's right there by our side. He's upholding us. He's uplifting us. He's moving us forward to better health, better wealth, better prosperity. Hallelujah, praise God. And certainly now we get to the book of Nehemiah, and we're going to be dealing with this book all week, all month long. We get to the book of Nehemiah. If you read the chapters before the 8th chapter, you know the story. You know that Nehemiah came to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. Why did Nehemiah come to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem? Because he was burdened. He was burdened by the people of God that had been taken into captivity. Now, why were they taken into captivity? Because of sin. Why are we dealing with a pandemic? Because of sin. Why are we dealing with various issues? Because of sin. But we know that we have a Redeemer in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So Nehemiah comes to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. Things to note is that, praise God, Nehemiah had a letter. He was armed with a letter from the king. He was armed with a commission. You know, he went before the king to do his duties unto the king, but his countenance was sad. He was burdened. He was burdened with the fact that the wall had been destroyed. But in chapter 6, we see that Nehemiah goes. He's given his authority, and we have been given the authority to operate on behalf of our Savior, to operate on behalf of a living God, to stand in the gaps, to stand strong, and to declare the salvation of the Lord, to declare that God is still in the blessing business. There are things that we've got before the Lord, but God has given us the authority to move forward. God is saying, move forward, because you have got the authorization papers. You have got that royal letter. You have got those things that you need to move forward. There are some of you that have been hesitant. There's some of you that have been fearful, but God is saying now is the time to move. God is saying that now is the time to go forth. Go forth and rebuild. We need leaders. We need those that will stand up and declare the goodness of Jesus, to declare His solemn His solemn word, to stand on his love. This is also Love Month as well. You know, they give Black History in the month of February, and yet it's also the month of Valentine's Day. Yet we walk in the principles of love and thanksgiving, but we still stand tall and say there are some things that need to change. There's still some things that need to happen. And certainly if we continue to look at this book. Now, not only did he organize the people into groups and assign them to specific walls, and we see that in chapter 3, they also had a mind to work. God is calling for those forth to have a mind to work, to have a mind to put on the armor of God and go forth in battle. Now, if you don't know what the armor of God is, go and read Ephesians 6, and it will tell you. But Nehemiah had some haters, and we've got some haters. We've got some of those out there that don't want to see us have victory, don't want us to prosper, don't want us to have a piece of the pie, don't want us to go forth, don't want to be blessed. We're out of work. Some are out of work. There are those that want to sign off on bills because they don't want to see those impoverished people have a way out. There are those that are hungry. There are those that need somewhere to sleep. And this, the weather is cold out there. People are homeless. People are hungry. And yet there are people out there that want to see those conditions remain. Hallelujah. So you had Sanballat, you had Tobias, and others that did not want to see the building of the wall, did not want to see the wall go up. And the word tells us in Nehemiah that they had to build the wall with one hand, but they had to strap themselves accordingly, with armed accordingly in another hand, to fight off anyone that will stop them from building. And that is how the enemy comes. He comes to confuse you. He comes to take away your dreams. He comes to make you angry. He comes to make you frustrated. He comes to tell you you can't make it. He comes to put sickness in our bodies. He comes to tell you you ain't nobody, you never will be anybody. But Satan is a lie. Satan is alive. So there are those that will halt the work. There were those that bring insults. There are those that will bring threats. And there are those that will bring sabotage. And that's the trick of the enemy. Don't think that you're going to get out there and do something and be successful without struggles, because struggles come with the territory. But we understand what Mahalia Jackson was talking about when she says, how I got over. My soul looked back and wondered how I got over. If I've got a bill with one hand and have a weapon in the other, of course our weapons are spiritual, casting down thoughts. Our weapons of warfare, hallelujah, to bring down strongholds, every stronghold that presents itself against God. Hallelujah, praise God, hallelujah. Now, Nehemiah brings a strategy. Mm-hmm. He employs skills. He employs a plan. That's all it is. It's a plan, you know, that would frustrate the enemy. Oh, hallelujah. So in essence, Dr. Carey, what you're telling me, I'm telling you that God will give you a plan to frustrate the enemy. He will give you skills and that will help you, that will aid you, that will bring you from point A to point Z. Hallelujah. And certainly Nehemiah employs this plan. Uh-huh. First off, prayer. Mm-hmm. Encouragement. Guard duty. conciliation, worship, and Bible instruction. I'm sorry, consolidation. Number four is consolidation. Hallelujah. So let me read those over again. Let me slow down. First of all, prayer. Second, encouragement. Third, he guard duty. Fourth, consolidation. Five, worship. And six, Bible instruction. And let's go through those. So the people paid attention to Ezra as he read God's word. Their eyes were changed. We heard the Bible so often, we can become dull to its words and immune to its teaching. However, we must continue to listen carefully to every verse and apply it to our lives. Let's do it again. Let's go back and rebuild those things that have been torn down. This is a formula that was used to rebuild the wall in the book of Nehemiah. First, we talked about prayer. Prayer, Romans 1 and 9, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I may mention of you always in my prayer. 2 Timothy 1 and 3 talks about prayer. Then he talks about encouragement. I'm going to go through these right quick. My time is running out, praise God. Encouragement, encouraging ourselves. The Bible gives an example of David who encouraged himself. Acts 11 and 23 says, when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. Acts 15 and 31, when they had read, they rejoiced for consolation. And certainly there are a number of verses in Acts 22 and 3, Romans 1 and 12, and Colossians 2 and 2. And then there's guard duty, which is watchful prayer, guarding of our hearts, not to sleep, because Satan comes at night when we sleep. So in essence, we are on guard duty, saints. We've got to be watchful in prayer. And of course, Ephesians 6 and 18 reads, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Then also 2 Timothy and 4 and 5 talks about being on duty. Nehemiah 7 and 3, he says, and I say to them, do not let your gates of Jerusalem be open until the sun is hot, and while they stand guard, let them shut and bar the doors and appoint guards from among the inhabitants of Jerusalem, one at this watch station and another in front of our houses. Sometimes we've got to guard our houses. We've got to guard our minds. We have got to guard ourselves. And Philippians 4 and 7 says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So that's very important, that we guard ourselves, that we put the armor upon us. And I talked about the armor. And if y'all want me to talk about the armor of God, where it stands, how we apply the armor of God, give me a text and say, Dr. Carey, I want you to revisit that, and I will. Praise God, because it is important that we guard our hearts and our minds. When our hearts is infected, our minds are infected, what we think in our minds will come out. And if you don't believe it, look at the insurrection on January the 6th. And we see a people that believed a lie. And because they believed a lie, they felt it in their hearts and they responded accordingly, because they felt like they were doing the right thing. That's the lie that Satan applies and tries to get us to see, to confuse us with a lie, so we will act on a lie. And when we act on a lie, then he gets the glory, Satan. Consolidation. which is the purpose of uniting the quality or the state of being unified, band together. And Psalms 133:1 reads, "Blessed unity of the people of God, a song of ascent of David. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell in unity." Ephesians 4:1-3, hallelujah. "We are to walk in unity. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called to, with all lowliness and gentleness and long-suffering, bearing one another in love, enduring to keep the unity of the spirit of the bond and peace." You know, we have got to unite. We've got to understand that we are God's. And sometimes people operate out of the hurts, out of the pains they have experienced, out of a lie that Satan has told them. And because they're operating out of a lie and not of truth, we've got to walk in love, we've got to walk in forgiveness, and we have got to pray for them. But that does not mean that we let our guards down. That does not mean that we don't see it for what it is, a trick of the enemy that Satan employs to get us off of our track of understanding of who we are in God and our plan and our purpose to do the will of God, who has given us, each and every one of us, a plan. He's given us gifts and talents to operate and to be used for him. Now, worship. Frequent in worship, we are to worship God. We are to lift up, get up in the morning and praise and worship a living God. You know that song, I keep going back, hallelujah, but that song is relevant because hallelujah, she praises God for Jesus. She praises God for bringing her over. She praises God for giving her another opportunity. She don't know how she did it, but she know that God did it for her. And certainly worship is expressing God's wealth or God's worth. Hallelujah. What we say to God by our words or our actions must bring forth what we say to him silently, which in turn must bring forth what we know to be true about him. Now, Psalms 95:6. I hope y'all enjoying this word. Praise God. I hope y'all being able to write down the scriptures. If not, you can say, "Dr. Carey, I need a list of the scriptures." Certainly, I will give you the scriptures because we want to grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the people had a mind to work. I want you to know that this morning we are working for the common good, to bring people, to show our light to mankind, that they may understand who God is. We are called to be ambassadors for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, if you don't know him, if you don't have a relationship with Christ Jesus, I implore you to do so today, because if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I don't know where I'd be. So Psalms 95:6 reads, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." Hebrews 13:15 read, "Therefore by him let us continually offer up the sacrifice of praise to God." That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to him, giving thanks to his name. Now, sacrifice means that I am going to go without. I am going to do something that I really don't want to do, that is not in my nature to do. I may not want to do it, but I'm going to make a sacrifice. I may not have the portion or the money to do it, but I'm going to do it because there is something that pushes me to make a sacrifice. And when we make a sacrifice, we push ourselves. We push ourselves to lift up the name of the Lord when we may not feel like it. And as a mental health professional, I tell you, some days you're not going to feel like it. But when we press in, when we press our way, when we lift up the Lord's name, then our countenance change, our attitudes change, then our situation change. When we look to the hills from which cometh our help, for our help cometh from the Lord who He is able. When we take our eyes off our situation, and that's what worship does. It takes our eyes off that bill, our kids is in trouble, off this coronavirus, whether we can go out, this cold weather that we're experiencing on this weekend. It takes our eyes off the situations that we're facing and puts our minds and our attitudes on God. And this is the last one, saints. Bible instruction. Bible instruction. So these are the things that Nehemiah did in this chapter. And, of course, we're going to explore them even the more. But the Bible instruction, the whole role. Nehemiah 8, and we read that in 10, and I'm not going to read them again. Well, yeah, I'll read 10 again. Then he said unto them, go your way and eat the fat and drink the sweet and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this is the day holy unto the Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And certainly when we look at this and when we look at this chapter, God sends the people away. And it calls for the Feast of the Tabernacles. And praise God, my co-host will bring you more on that on next week. It calls for the Feast of the Tabernacles, which is the seventh and the last feast that the Lord commends to Israel. He has rebuilt the temple, the wall, I'm sorry. He has rebuilt it, and now they are getting ready to come back. A portion of those in the exile comes back. Hallelujah. And certainly they begin a feast. They begin to celebrate. They begin to worship the Lord. So we are rededicating ourselves to rebuild our heritage. We are rebuilding. We're teaching our kids. We're teaching generations and generations is coming before us, who and our heritage and what the accomplishments that we have made as a people. We are a people that has sprung close, that have a spiritual people that know how to pray, a spiritual people that know how to worship. We bow down and worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we look back over our lives and say, God has blessed us to make it over. God has blessed us. And certainly this month we celebrate we who we are, but we are not finished. We are going forth. We are moving forward to reclaim, to rebuild. As those of us take the vaccination, as the country gets better, as we become restored, I know that things might not never be the same, but God is implementing a plan of action that we can move forward in blessings. God is moving. It is our time. It is our day to move forward in God, to move forward in the power that He's given to us as we cling to His name, as we lift up His name, as we continue to pray and seek God, as we put the whole armor on us, as we spring forth with plans and wisdom that He has given us to move our communities forward, to look at the inequities and the poverties in our community and stand in the gap to pray for our teens that are stealing cars, that are breaking in stores, that are messing up their lives for material things that will not last. The Bible says only what you do for Christ will last. And those things that they're stealing and taking, they can't take it with them over on the other side. But if they don't stop their ways, hell is waiting. And we need to lift them up and we need to pray. Hallelujah. I'm done. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the word. We thank you for the word that you've given us on this morning. I pray, God, that this word will touch somebody. I pray, God, that you will move. I pray, God, for each and every one that on this line that needs a healing touch to their body. I pray that you'll touch them right now. I pray, God, that you'll build them up. I pray that you'll restore them. I pray, God, that you'll move forth, God. Your will be done in our lives right now in the name of Jesus. God, Satan, you allow, bind you in our minds. God, let us guard our hearts and our minds right now in the name of Jesus. God, touch your people in the name of Jesus. Bless each and every one that has participated on this call on this morning. I pray for them especially. I pray, God, that you move, God, in their lives, whatever they need, whatever the sacrifices that they have made, God. I pray, God, that you touch, God. I pray right now for them in Jesus' name. I pray, God, that you have your way in their lives. I thank you, God, for the efforts to tune in. I pray, God, that you'll strengthen them and build them. And, God, allow this word to be hidden in their hearts, God. We pray, God, that you'll heal and set free. And, Father God, if there's someone that don't know you, God, I pray, God, that you'll allow them and give them a mind to confess their sins and accept you as their personal Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah, our time is up. If this word has been a blessing to you, I pray, God, that you give me a shout out at 309-750-7584. I pray that something has been said that will encourage your mind. On next Saturday, our co-host will be in charge, and she will continue to give you a word from the Lord that will break the yokes of bondage or destroy the yokes of bondage, because we don't want to be a bound people. Satan tries to bind us. He tries to keep us from going forth. But I just want you to know that it's just a test that you are going to recover all. And Nehemiah was successful. He was successful, and he told the people not to be sorry, but now you go and rejoice and help those that may not have food. Help those that may be in need. If God gives you something, it's to help somebody else, because we are better together. We are united together. We are successful together. So if you get an idea and you need help, we want to build each other up. We want to encourage you in the name of the Lord and Savior, because he is good. He is good all the time. When I think about the goodness of Jesus, my soul cries out, hallelujah. 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 I bless the name of the Lord. I see you guys on next week. Well, my co-host will talk with you on next week. Hallelujah. Be blessed. Bye-bye.